Welcome in. Hope you're having a fantastic Monday. Hope you had a fantastic and even better holiday weekend with some time away or some time with friends and family, whatever it was. Hope you enjoyed yourselves and happy to have you back for this Monday show. 615-737-1045 is the number. That's how you get involved. 615-737-1045 on a reaction Monday. We've got Titans, of course. We'll talk about some craziness in the world of college football as well. And I guess we have to start where I just got back from, which is Boston, or rather Foxborough, where I witnessed a game that I'm still trying to process all the way through. Because there's a lot there, right? Titans lose to the Patriots, get blown out on the road, 36-13. And I think the biggest takeaway that I have from all of this is that it wouldn't feel as bad if they didn't look like they had a clear and obvious game plan to beat the New England Patriots. That's why I'm not terribly shook up about it. I feel like the majority of Titans fans are kind of like, yeah, just get me to the bye week. Didn't necessarily expect them to win. Would have been a pleasant surprise if they did. Mike Vrabel always has a good approach to playing Bill Belichick teams. That was his first career loss to Bill on Sunday. But it hurts worse, or it feels worse, because they had the opportunity to win. And again, for the second straight week, they just kind of threw up on themselves. And it's multi-layered. We're going to certainly talk about the quarterback because I know that's a big topic of conversation today. But I think Mike Vrabel summarized it last night when we spoke to him in the post-game press conference. And again, we'll have Mike Vrabel's Monday presser for you at noon. I thought Mike kind of summed it up well with where they're at right now and how this game kind of got out of hand, because it was very much able to be in hand. But with the way that they had penalties on special teams, with the fact that in the last two games, they have turned the ball over 9 times and have not gained a single takeaway on defense. So it's not just one side of the ball. And yesterday, it was all three. So this was Mike Vrabel after the game when asked for his reaction on the loss.
I think you're always obviously disappointed and frustrated when you lose. We did some good things. We did some obviously things that are going to get you beat. And that is somewhat frustrating, but can't go on the road, especially against a good team, you know, and do those types of things and have penalties and, you know, start drives with, you know, on the 10-yard line and, you know, penalties on special teams, turnovers, you know. So you don't have to look too hard on why we lost.
I mean, Mike Vrabel rarely sounds defeated, but deflated is probably the better word, and no pun intended, given that they just played at New England. And ironically enough, Tom Brady bailed them out in Indianapolis in a big way yesterday as far as playoffs and divisional implications are concerned. But what Mike Vrabel is alluding to, I mean, look no further than the first drive with how this game started, where the Titans are able to start with the ball. They very quickly go 3-and-out. They start before the drive even begins with a total of 37 yards of penalty, or 37 penalty yards against them for Nick DeZubner's holding. You have illegal formation on the punt, which I'm still trying to figure out how exactly you can have an illegal formation on a punt. And I guess the answer is just you got a bunch of new dudes out there that aren't familiar with your special team schemes. I don't know what the answer to that is. But you lose the 37 yards right out the gate on that first drive, all while going 3-and-out and Ryan Tannehill getting sacked. Not necessarily a bad play by the offensive line. I thought David Questenberry did a nice job on Matt Judon, but it was a coverage sack. You go back and look at it. The quarterback didn't have anybody open, so instead of stepping up in the pocket like Ryan or like most quarterbacks do, Ryan Tannehill, it seemed like he was backing out of the pocket to try and move around, extend the play, and let somebody come open. And, of course, that didn't happen. So you have, obviously, the four total turnovers. You have all of these things. And yet at the half, which drives you crazy, I'm sure. At the half, you're looking at this and saying, it's a three-point game. All of these things go wrong. And, of course, the turnovers, there was one fumble in the two-minute drill for Dontrell Hilliard. He made up for it, though, of course, with that 68-yard touchdown. And then the Deontay Foreman is the one that just nuked you. You had nothing after that. The fourth one, Kari Blossom game later on, and I know Ryan Tannehill threw an interception on fourth and two, and the Patriots are on the Patriots' goal line, basically. But there's just so many different ways that they had to win this game, and that's why it kind of doesn't feel great. Now, I don't think that yesterday was a complete wash, and I'm not necessarily somebody that you would qualify as an eternal optimist. I think that you're realistic about where they are. You are realistic about the fact that they have now played more players and had on their roster more players than any NFL team in the last 28 years. The last two teams to field 84 total players, which was the previous record before the Titans broke it yesterday by two. The last two teams to have 84 players that have dressed for them during a season. And by the way, that's during an entire season. Jimmy Wyatt had this stat of TennesseeTitans.com. It was the 2019 Miami Dolphins who went 5-11. And again, those injuries over an entire season. So you got the 19 Dolphins, 5-11 on the year. And then last year, coming off the Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs, which of course they lost, the San Francisco 49ers, which had all kinds of hope and promise and potential, in 2020, they had 84 players due to injury end up dressing for them. They went 6-10 off of a Super Bowl run in the 2019 season. Those are the two teams that previously held the record. The Titans have broken it by two through 12 weeks. Now, you got the bye at a timely moment. And I don't think we put it to a poll, Lucas did, where has a fan base ever been more grateful or excited to see a bye week? Because this is, it's borderline celebration at this point. Because you just don't have dudes to go out there, or guys haven't been here long enough, because not only are the guys that you brought in getting hurt, but the depth guys under them are getting hurt. So you're out there with a collection of wide receivers that I'm standing in the tunnel in Gillette Stadium. And I'm you take the pregame videos, you tweet it out for Titans fans to look at, to feel like you're in the stadium with us, basically. And so you set the scene. And you're waiting for every player or every position group to do their normal entrance. They all come out at the same time each and every week. It goes returners and fullbacks. It goes centers and quarterbacks. Then you have the wide receivers. And so you're waiting for the wide receivers to make the turn. And there's three of them because Chester Rogers came out with the return group. There's three wide receivers playing for the Titans outside of Chester. And it's Nick Westbrook-Akina, wide receiver one. It's Cody Hollister, who has been here before but has been on and off this team in the last couple of years. And it's Dez Fitzpatrick, who I'm not sure just how seriously to take him yet. I think that you're going to give him more time, but again, this is a fourth-round pick this year that couldn't make your active roster in the first place and was most recently seen getting chewed out by his wide receivers coach because he had to go through drills multiple times and wasn't getting the message. There are just too many things at this point to overcome. And what it all centers back to is that this team goes as Ryan Tannehill goes. So when we come back, and I want to hear from you on this, 615-737-1045, what is the ceiling of Ryan Tannehill as the quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. You're going to hear from him. You'll hear from Taylor Lewan, Jeff Simmons as well. What is the ceiling of Ryan Tannehill as quarterback of this franchise? Jump in. We'll tell you what our opinion is on it. Coming up next, I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Fourth and two. Desperation plays. Buck Rising back here with you till 1 o'clock. That is, of course, Mike Keith and Coach Dave McGinnis on the call of the Titans' loss to the New England Patriots yesterday in Foxborough. I have just returned from Boston this morning, and I feel like Titans fans are excited for the bye week, too. I know the team certainly needs it. But, I mean, just off that play alone. So, obviously, you're in four down territory. The fourth and two play call, and I thought it was really interesting analysis from Teron Davenport, who covers the Titans, obviously, for ESPN. We're all sitting there in a row in the press box in New England, and after Tannehill throws that interception that goes off the hands of one DB into J.C. Jackson's arms for his seventh pick. By the way, J.C. Jackson's Twitter handle is at Mr. INT, so fitting. He lived up to the billing yesterday. But Teron, kind of watching the replay back, because we watched the play on the field, the television broadcast about 20 seconds behind us in real time. So you look up at the TV and you see the play call, and Teron basically says, man, I hate that on fourth and two. I hate that call on fourth and two, because you clearly see them moving Ryan Tannehill to his right. They're trying to get guys broken open. There's not a play necessarily to be made there with his legs, and you're already condensing the field when you call that kind of play, that kind of concept, by taking away two options on the far side when you're rolling to your right. Now, if you're going to roll him out, because he can score with his legs, he made a couple of plays with his legs yesterday, but basically, you were dividing the fields into quadrants, and two of them were eliminated as soon as he started basically running to his right as soon as he caught the snap. So it wasn't a perfect performance by any stretch of the imagination. And anytime you come out of a game with 85 yards net passing, you're going to feel pretty bad about it, especially when the dude on the other side is a rookie and puts on a rookie of the year type performance, because your defense wasn't sniffing him at all yesterday. Outside of Kevin Byard and Naquan Jones, Mac Jones was super comfortable in the pocket.
Was that his best performance as a pro?
Mac Jones?
Yeah.
It was his, I would say so, because, and it's a product of the time. I don't want to get too far away from the Tannehill thing, so let me circle back to Mac Jones here in just a second, because I think there's good context that will require some more involvement. But we asked you, whether you're riding in your car, listening on your Zone app, whatever you're doing, Zone TV, if you want to call in, 615-737-1045, what is Ryan Tannehill's ceiling as quarterback for the Tennessee Titans? Because immediately after Tannehill throws the interception, so he's now 14 touchdowns to 13 picks on the year. It's bad, right? There's no excusing it other than to say, okay, each interception you have to take on a case-by-case basis and not lump all 13 into one another. I'm looking at this and saying, for Ryan Tannehill, he is totally capable of winning a Super Bowl with the Tennessee Titans if the roster is as it was meant to be. Now, you are never going to finish the year with all of your star power, all of your best players available in the final game of the season. You may not even make it to the postseason that way. Ryan Tannehill's ceiling is Super Bowl. I have no doubt in my mind about it. But when you trot him out there with, one, a defense yesterday that wasn't getting turnovers again for the second straight week and wasn't getting pressure, and a skill position group that I'm sorry, is just simply not good enough. I think Nick Westbrook-Ikhina has come a long way. He was not good enough to help them win the game yesterday. I think Chester Rogers is a fine option as the slot, as your three or your four. He cannot be a primary receiving option, and you're getting jack out of your tight ends. Just nothing. something that's supposed to be the security blanket for the quarterback. Des Fitzpatrick, I very much question on a number of levels, and we will have time to reassess, you know, the selection of Des Fitzpatrick, much less the trade up to go get him. Once we've seen a complete season, I don't think it's fair to just completely cast him out after 12 games, but it's not good enough. It wasn't good enough when he couldn't make the roster as a fourth-round pick. Ryan Tannehill, with those skill position groups and just, I mean, kidney shot turnovers. The one in the two-minute drill where the Titans are trailing by seven and they have the ability to go down the field and score and Dontrell Hilliard fumbles, you almost forgive it because of the 68-yard touchdown. You cannot excuse turnovers, but at least he made a play to make up for it. Deontay Foreman's, I mean, you may as well have just started scoring touchdowns against your own defense. I mean, it's just, it's a disaster what happened to them yesterday. And so I asked Ryan Tannehill in the press conference last night, I mean, what do you do at this point when you're bringing dudes in off the street every week, and every week you got to run out there and you got to find ways to put together a game plan? And what's worse, they put together a game plan that was working. Over 260 yards of on the ground. That's more than Derrick Henry type numbers. They had it figured out. You can win a game throwing for 85 net passing yards, even if Ryan Tannehill has a touchdown and interception. If you have 260 plus yards on the ground with this football team and the defense playing up to its potential, you win the game. Pats are good, and they couldn't stop you for bleep yesterday. So I'm asking Ryan Tannehill, I mean, how do you kind of go about this? How much can you realistically install when you're getting dudes off of out of free agency, basically, guys that weren't on a roster 12 weeks into the year, and you're having to figure out a game plan and execute, you know, off of a Tuesday?
Yeah, it's not an ideal situation, but, you know, I felt really confident coming in. I felt like we had a really good plan. I felt like our guys knew what it was going to take and grasped the plan. And I felt like we did a pretty good job of executing on the whole, you know, minus, you know, some key mistakes. So I was proud of our guys and the way they battled, you know, especially Cody, guy who just got here, came in, battled hard. The running backs ran really hard. But the offensive line battled. You know, they finished. They pushed piles and played the kind of ball that we like to see. So there's some good things on this tape and some things we need to learn from.
So what do we know about Ryan Tannehill? We know that guys like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, maybe even Lamar Jackson, although a bad performance by Lamar last night. I'm not hearing any screams about Lamar throwing four interceptions. I mean, I guess that's because they won the game, but still. So we know that Ryan Tannehill is not in and of himself going to elevate guys that aren't starting level players in this league. So that means he's what? The second tier down? That doesn't mean, as I was seeing in my mentions yesterday, and maybe it's just reaction, that the Titans need to go about drafting another quarterback. That's insane to me. Ryan Tannehill is perfectly fine for them to be able to go out and win games. But if you put him in a position like this, of course he's going to have things collapse around him. And still, they almost found a way to win that damn football game. I could not get over it. And I put this out on social media last night. I'm watching this, and it felt like, I mean, almost like Tennessee, Alabama, or Tennessee, Georgia, right? Where the inferior team is going to the top of the food chain on the road. And you're saying, all right, if you can hang with them, it's gravy. Moral victories for everybody. Maybe you're not a moral victory person. That's all well and good. So maybe you score the most points on Georgia's defense that you have at any point in the year. You put 17 on Georgia's defense. Happy for you. You still get blown out. Why? Because you don't have the depth to withstand a team like Georgia that's sitting at the top of the food chain. And what I watched yesterday with the Titans keeping it competitive in the first half and then things snowballing on them in the second is they simply just didn't have enough good players to go out there and win that football game. Breaking news, I know, with them starting or playing or dressing their 86th player on the season, an NFL record in the last 28 years. It's ridiculous. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. What is Ryan Tannehill's ceiling with the Tennessee Titans? We'll go to the phones here in just a second, but I do need to remind you that 104.5 The Zone is building a field of toys to benefit the Salvation Army's Forgotten Angels. Toy Field, presented by T-Mobile, is Tuesday, December 7th at Nissan Stadium. While you're out there doing your holiday shopping, remember those in need this holiday season. Please pick up a gift for a senior or a toy and help us build a field of toys at Toy Field on Tuesday, December 7th. If you need more info, you can visit 1045thezone.com. All right, to the phones. Bam in Nashville is up next on Ryan Tannehill. What's up, Bam?
Yo, yo, what up? How you feeling, man?
Man, I'm making it. A lot of air travel, a lot of air travel left to do today, but I'm making it.
My man. Well, look, man, I can't really be hard on Tannehill because I said earlier, and I'm saying it again, like, bro, he has no chemistry with none of those guys. Now, I'm going to say this. If our starter started yesterday, totally different ball game. Totally different game. If we see the Patriots in the playoffs again, totally different game. They're very much so beatable. Like you said, they couldn't stop the run. If Ryan has his blankets and Julio and AJ, you know, I think that's a total different thing because they're going to make the plays that are like clockwork to them. You know what I'm saying? So, they did what they could, but it's like it's just inexperience. Inexperience beat them. And then even with Ryan being experienced, they don't have the experience to match him, and it's only so much that he can do. So he's trying to mentally keep himself together and keep himself in the game. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's completely relevant. I appreciate the call, Bam. 615-737-1045. Here's the thing about Tannehill, right? Like, I'm not going to do the analysis in a way that says, yeah, if the starters play, they beat the Patriots. I have no idea. I have no idea. That game could have gone 900 different ways, right? If A.J. Brown or Julio Jones or Derrick Henry or any of them had been available to play in that game, they could have won. They could have found a way to lost. It's not like it's beyond comprehension because everybody, including the Patriots yesterday, even though they've won their sixth straight game and again, after one down bad year, are sitting at the top of the AFC East. Bill Belichick is back, baby, and better or badder, excuse my grammar, than ever. What I'll say to you is this, as far as that is concerned, everybody is beatable. I watched Baltimore and Cleveland last night. I saw a Browns team that has precious little juice. Lamar Jackson throwing four interceptions, found Mark Andrews in the end zone, found a touchdown, has the best kicker in the sport, and is able to pressure the quarterback. Both of those teams look infinitely beatable. Cincinnati rolled over Pittsburgh yesterday. The Steelers, I'm not threatened in any stretch of the imagination by Cincinnati. I'm still kind of unclear on. Buffalo is sliding and has dealt with a lot of different issues, even though they got right against the Saints on Thanksgiving, and the Patriots, or not the Patriots, forgive me, Freudian slip, Tom Brady went into Indianapolis yesterday and knocked the Colts back down to 500 to give you a little breathing room around your neck because the injury report has basically been a noose. There are so many different ways to look at this and say, yeah, it's you don't want to say it's okay for them to lose, but like, for example, take Randy Bullock yesterday. Randy Bullock has been a gem. And when I say Titans legend Randy Bullock now, I damn well mean it because he has been, outside of yesterday, spectacular. So Randy has, it's a bad day to have a bad day for Randy Bullock. And he misses one of his two extra points, and he misses his field goal attempt. Randy Bullock cost them 4 points. Randy Bullock can't afford to have a bad day. Because everything else around Randy Bullock, not just Ryan Tannehill, think about it this way. It's not just Tannehill that this is happening to. Randy Bullock can't have even the slightest of down performances because you can't rely on anything right now because you don't know who's playing for them. I'm sitting there looking at my flip card that was printed out on Tuesday and how many different roster alterations they've made since Tuesday. It's ridiculous.
But that spreads across all of special teams, right? Not just Randy Bullock. You can't afford a muff punt against the Texans. That spots them a touchdown last week. You can't afford a illegal formation penalty that turns, really, it's a 5-yard penalty, but it's really, what, a 30-plus yard penalty because of the field position.
Buddy, you can't afford Monty Rice getting a defensive pass interference on the Patriots' first drive when you had him dead to rights, and Brandon Bolden, I think, was the running back at the time that ran for the first down after you held them down well. You can't afford mistakes anywhere because your team is not at this point good enough to make up for them. That includes Ryan Tannehill. Again, the roster, even if it's a quarter of what it's supposed to be, you can find ways to win playoff games with Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback. They did it after Derrick Henry went down because they have things at their disposal. But you cannot have Randy Bullock missing if you don't have the offensive firepower to keep up. You cannot have Jeff Simmons and Harold Landry. Not a single pressure between the two of them. Between the two of them, according to Next Gen Stats. On Mac Jones yesterday, your pressures came from Kevin Byard because they desperately needed something to rattle that quarterback. And Naquan Jones made a play in the second half when things felt kind of out of hand. So, I mean, when you talk to the guys about this last night, there's just so many different ways that this can go about. But also, there has to be some self-awareness, right? Because I keep coming back to Deontay Foreman. Deontay Foreman, I want you to hear this exchange, and then we'll react to it afterwards. We'll go back to the phones as well. The Titans running back, who fumbled in the second half, and that specific turnover being probably the most damning bad play of the Titans' day yesterday. Listen to his response when we ask him two questions about this turnover and see if you don't pick up what I'm putting down, basically.
It's definitely frustrating. I mean, the biggest thing is running backs. You know, we got to protect the football, run hard, you know, and just try to do what we could do to help the team win. And, you know, speaking on myself, you know, I got to do better with securing the ball and, you know, finishing my runs. I mean, I seen the gap. I tried to get through it, and I just didn't feel the defenders on the side of me. He made a great play, you know, so just got to, you know, do a better job of protecting the ball in the open field.
You did.
I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, it's just stuff we got to clean up. You know, we never want to put the ball on the ground as a running back group. And, today we did that. So, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, we gotta do better with protecting the football. I think we ran the ball pretty well, but I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we put the ball on the ground. It's not good.
That's the entirety of his press conference. I cut in after the first two questions. Lucas didn't realize that it was only I didn't realize that Lucas told me it was only a minute long last night that we spoke to Deontay Foreman. But the second question is the biggest takeaway. When I'm asking him, hey, can you kind of walk us through what happened, how you coughed that ball up? And when he says he doesn't feel the defenders on the side of him, buddy, do you think you're pulling away? You're not Derrick Henry. I appreciate your confidence as a professional athlete. That's something you have to possess. But you cannot tell me, if you're Deontay Foreman, that you don't feel the defenders closing in on you. And so that's the reason whether your ball security gets lax at that point. The defender did make a nice play to punch it out, but you're not pulling away from anybody. Make the play and hang on to the damn ball. It is catastrophic, and it served that purpose yesterday in favor of the Patriots, who just feasted. 615-737-1045 if you want to jump in on the conversation. Let's go to Frank in Gallatin, up next on 104.5 The Zone. Hello, Frank.
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's great.
Thanks for having me on the show. I just want to say about Tannehill first that, you know, he hasn't had all his guys on offense the whole year. I mean, the line has been beat up. The receivers have been on IR. He can't develop a rhythm with them because they're not there all the time. And, you know, I know he's not an elite quarterback, but I think he's good enough to take us to the Super Bowl if we had a team that wasn't injured like we are, which brings me to my point. no one seems to be talking about the injuries and why are we having so many injuries. I mean, do we have to think about what's going on with the medical staff or with the trainers? I mean, all of the hamstring injuries, it seems like they would be keeping them, you know, more warm and stretched out on the sideline, that kind of thing. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm grasping straws, but that's all I got to say.
Thanks for the call, Frank. And you know, because I get asked about this a lot about the injuries, you know, and then immediately you see Monty Rice goes off, and there's a flurry of tweets on my timeline. Fire the Titans training staff. What? Because somebody stepped on his ankle? Like, come on. Regarding soft tissue, I don't know enough about their process, and I don't think Mike Vrabel's going to shed any light on it. Only that they trust their training staff. But I would say to you that I understand the reaction to want to grasp at straws, because you want there to be some other explanation than, oh, this is just wretched luck that all of these players are getting injured. And it's not just soft tissue injury. There is an accumulation of different things, right? You've got Bud Dupree with an abdominal. You've got hamstrings all over the place. You've got Monty Rice with an ankle yesterday. You got two dudes coming back who are high-profile players that are working through ACL repairs. Like, it's just a whole mess of things at this point. So I would say to you, I don't have the information to give you a good analysis other than it's okay sometimes, I feel like, to not have a take as far as injuries are concerned. Like, I don't think you need to have an impassioned opinion about whether the Titans training staff needs to be fired unless, one, you have some kind of a medical degree that would indicate that they're doing something wrong and that you know about their process next to other NFL teams. I don't think anybody has the answer to that question right now. When we come back, we'll continue to take your phone calls. You'll hear from Taylor Lewan and Big Jeff Simmons on this situation. We're also going to pivot to an insane weekend in college football, not just on the field, but the coaching carousel. She's a spinning. That's coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. That's Mike Keith. Defense, you know, trying to make some plays yesterday. And honestly, I mean, nobody was good enough to win, right? That's the cliche. But the defense in keeping or trying to keep the team in that game because of the way that they were able to get red zone stops. Now, listen, Mac Jones missed a clear and obvious touchdown to, who was it, Hunter Henry in the back of the end zone that I thought bailed them out in a big way as well on one of those red zone stops. But I thought there was some stuff positively to take away from that game. We'll go back to your phone calls here in just a second. But we asked Jeff Simmons yesterday about this, about, you know, what is different at this point about this team after the win streak. Now they dropped two in a row. What stands out differently about the Titans? And Jeff's answer I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, they were trying to run the ball against us. As you see, I think I saw they had like 47 rushing yards coming to the fourth quarter. I mean, we knew they were going to try to be bullies, and we weren't going to get bullied. And they bullet ball. They're trying to knock you off the ball and try to run the ball. And I think we're standing up to it. We're stopping the run. You know, of course, they got the rushing touchdown at the end in the fourth quarter. But I think we were doing a hell of a job stopping their run. So, I mean, that's what it was. We're stopping their run and just getting out of the field, making key field goals.
And they did that several times. So, again, the bones of this thing are there, and we'll talk more about it in the noon hour. We'll carry Mike Vrabel's press conference for you because there's some really fantastic stuff from the world of college football that we have yet to address. But let's go back to the phones in the meantime. Let's go to Kenneth in Murfreesboro, who's up next on 104.5 The Zone. What's up, Kenneth?
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's going.
So I just wanted to, you know, kind of speak on the turnovers and quick hit on the defense. You know, I think the defense is playing amazing. And as long as they can keep this up, we get everybody healthy. I like our odds. But just back to the, you know, the turnovers, I think is the biggest takeaway. You know, Tannehill, he did better than, you know, last week. Last week was terrible. I feel like, you know, he gets locked on his first read a lot. I don't know if that's just me, you know, not seeing it right. But I feel like here lately he's forced a lot of bad, just terrible interceptions. But I think last game, you know, he kind of did what he could with what he had. But I just truly think, you know, we just cut the turnovers out, we get healthy, I think we'll be all right.
Man, you cut the turnovers out in either of these games. You probably, I don't want to say you win easily. Again, to do the analysis in retrospect and with the result in hand, I don't think does anybody any good. But there were so many opportunities for them to win this game. It just blows me away that 9 turnovers on offense in the last two and zero turnovers for the defense when they had 11 over the course of that 6-game win streak in the middle of the season. Let's go to Brent in Brentwood who wants to weigh in. What's up, Brent?
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
I'm doing well. I hope that Tannehill will people will start thinking of him as an elite quarterback. I think he's done a tremendous job this year with everything he's had to face. And that's all.
Okay. I appreciate the call, Brett. We use elite too much. We 14 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Elite is not the category that you put him in. But we'll come back to that conversation about Ryan Tannehill. Again, Mike Vrabel will speak to the media at noon, and we'll carry that live for you. We'll react to that, of course, as well. Elite is not the category that I would like to put Ryan Tannehill in, nor that I think there's probably 3 elite quarterbacks in football. Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes. And that's okay. I think Lamar is probably has days when he's in there, has days when he's not. But Ryan Tannehill can be the next tier down and still be good enough to win you football games. I think truly that is the case at this point. Isaac in Nashville is up next on 104.5 The Zone. What's up, Isaac?
Good, man. Hello?
Isaac, you're on the air.
Hey, sir. Yeah, I was wondering, man. I know we had Mr. Tate on the practice squad. I was just trying to see, do you think we'll elevate him? Is that going to make a difference with him being another playmaker? It's apparent that Mr. Tannehill needs more weapons, needs more things, you know. And is it also possible that, you know, let's just say we win out or if the Patriots lose in some kind of way, can we get that AFC top spot back? Thank you.
Isaac, he hung up. I mean, here's the thing. And as far as your chances for the first round bye are concerned, you kneecapped him yesterday. You went from 42% to 26% in the ability to try and regain your top or your spot at the top of the conference. That now belongs to the Baltimore Ravens, who gained an AFC win yesterday. There's a lot of different ways to look at this. And the Golden Tate thing, think about this, okay? I want to put in context for people the Golden Tate situation. They felt, with all of the injuries that they had, and by they I mean the Titans coaching staff and organization, they felt that Golden Tate wasn't good enough or up to speed enough to be on that active roster on Sunday. And they ran out there with that collection of skill position players like they did and still almost had a strategy and did seem to have a strategy to win the football game. But Golden Tate couldn't make the cut. So like playmaking ability, we're not talking about 2016 Golden Tate. We're talking about 2021, the dude who's been chilling out in Hendersonville for a couple of weeks on the couch until the Titans needed another body.
And they still broke the record, right, for most players used in a season.
Yeah, they didn't even call him up.
But you got to think he factors in against the Jaguars, right? A.J. Brown's still on IR.
Oh, sure, yeah. Now, listen, this was about Marcus Johnson going on IR, and this was about A.J. Brown going on IR. They are going to get him up to speed. The bye week helps. It's just not enough time. You cannot put him out there and further jeopardize the quarterback because you've got yet another wide receiver who doesn't know your route concepts, doesn't know your offense. It's detrimental to the team. You cannot have it that way. When we come back, we're going to talk about an insane weekend in college football. Upsets, Ed Orgeron, Lincoln Riley, switching not just schools but conferences. So many different things happening in the world of college football. And we'll speak with our buddy Austin Burledge, who will break down the result of the Tennessee-Vanderbilt game in Knoxville this weekend. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone.